Hey friends, Coach Shelby and Coach Christine welcoming you in and letting you know it's time for brunch. We're here, there is always an open table, a hot cup of coffee, and endless running fun to keep you moving and grooving. So wherever you are, whether you're lacing up your sneakers or maybe doing some errands, we're going to invite you to put on a smile and come along with us as we log some miles, and not just because we talk fast. But this week's episode is a bundle of laughs, because not only are we going to share some of our best laid tips and tricks to help you maybe get your significant other out on the run, we are going to feature our official royal couple from TFE training. But before we get to all that, we have so many exciting things happening at brunch at the moment. And I definitely think everybody's abuzz still with our Dopey giveaway, where we still have a little bit of time left for everybody to enter. But let's be honest. You hear Dopey and Run Disney or running in the same sentence, and you're getting excited.
I mean, I am. Yes. I didn't think about that. I was like, I absolutely am. I'm excited to see who ends up winning it. And I really hope that it's somebody who maybe has had this as a bucket list, or maybe it's even a little bit of a stretch goal, because it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It could be kind of overwhelming, which is why, folks, if you still have not put your name into the hat for this drawing that we're going to have live at our live tasting over on our YouTube channel, but we'll notify you if you can't attend, so no big deal. But the positive thing is that you also get, if you sign up for the email, you'll get a challenge guide. So if you are a little bit concerned, like, I want to do this, but this may be too much of a stretch goal, that's okay, friends. We've got a, gosh, I don't know, over 80 page document for you to, we'll be talking a little bit about it. That'll kind of help you. We've crowdsourced, I should say, from all of our wonderful interviews that we've had with people over the years, and of course our experience with Run Disney. So we feel this document, this incredible challenge guide, will give you a lot of tips and tricks, including the mindset that you're going to need for 4 early wake-ups and training.
It's more like a manifest or a manifesto.
Yes.
But I do have to laugh. Speaking of spouses, my very supportive spouse saw our giveaway. He entered, and I said, well, honey, just to be fair, I can't let you win. And he goes, oh, no, I don't want to win. He goes, I'm supporting you. He goes, but even if my name was drawn, he goes, I am not that dopey. He goes, I am not doing that. And then he asked, he goes, wait, did you sign up for that? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that one this year. I'm going to pump the brakes. And I think the fear in his eyes lessened about 5%. And then when he realized I said, not this year, that little bit of anxiety came in a bit.
That, I feel like, segues perfectly into our couple, because of course they are, they are the type of individuals who I think they support, encourage each other to maybe take that next step up. And It's really exciting to hear that. But again, you and I don't necessarily have running spouses. So it's really interesting to also to see the parallel between kind of being supported by someone who doesn't necessarily get it because they're not in it. So that's very exciting, Coach. I can't wait to chat with Nick and Julie here very, very soon. But something else that's absolutely amazing is the fact that we have at this time opened up our applications for one-on-one coaching. We closed it down over summer because we were in the middle of working with our training group. We had a lot of folks that were aiming for their fall distances. And now with this incredible fall season, we have a few folks that are getting those big audacious goals crossed off their list, and they're going to be working on their tapering. So we are able to open up our roster yet again for one-on-one athletes. And I know that both you and I feel like we have very special connections for our one-on-one athletes, but it's, while I love the training group and I love the fact that all of our one-on-ones get the training groups as part of that perk, so they have that built-in community, it also is very special to have that connection where we can get to know them a little bit more and really assist them with all of the details that come up in their life for their schedule and their goals, and reminding them that we're in their corner.
And it makes it nice because the training groups fit certain runners that are in a season where that's where their comfort level is. Maybe they haven't been coached before and that's their way of kind of seeing if they like the structure or what have you. And then a lot of them have shifted to the one-on-ones because they want that little bit of personalization that goes such a long way. And I say a little personalization but let's be honest, we don't do anything little. I mean, again, don't be giveaway. Do we really do anything little?
Right.
But no, I love the weekly check-in calls. And while, again, sometimes they do every other week, I love being able to work with them in real time to change their schedules if they need to on the fly. A meeting pops up, kids sick, or a spontaneous trip. Just being able to be more involved in their day-to-day training and really customize that is something that is always the best. And you learn a lot about the individual runners, and they learn a lot about themselves. Even one of my athletes just did her third half marathon this past weekend, and seeing her joy and hearing her joy, it was so rewarding. And yes, we may do this as a quote-unquote job, but the amount of joy it brings us, and it feels like our wins when they sit there and just cross that finish line feeling good, feeling fulfilled, and they're proud of themselves, which, I mean, I'm still always going to say I'm probably prouder, because it's like that mama bear. It's like you want to see everybody succeed.
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish that we could have a measurement of it, but all the way around, I think that it's just a full-on love fest, because we really are able to, as you mentioned, not just personalize, but truly think of the unique actual aspect of the runner. So for some of our runners, they may be motivated by, as you guys are going to hear, Disney. So we may add in a little bit of like Disney warm-ups or Disney cool-downs or Disney playlists. And some other folks are like, hey, I want heavy metal all the time, fast and furious. And we're able to make sure that they have those tools that help put that pep in their step to get laced up. I think though, one of the things that sets apart our coaching than some of the other run coaches that folks may tackle is that we really don't just stop at running. So while we stay within our scope of what we're capable of doing, so we don't necessarily go off and we're not going to Olympic weightlift coach anyone anytime soon. But we also know that these people that come to us are well-rounded. They have other aspects of their lives. So we bring in the meditation, the cross training, the yoga. And as you mentioned, I love nothing more than for the busy people that we work with, knowing that they don't have to figure things out when it comes to their schedule, that they could just shoot us a quick text, they can go to their meeting, and that we will figure out how to jostle it around in a way that keeps them safe and working toward their goal.
Yeah, and I think that's always everybody's biggest surprise when they start working, is how we take the puzzle pieces and make them fit. And you know, my biggest thing is, you have to make running fit your life, not make your life fit running. And it's something that I'm very passionate about, because, yes, sometimes we do have those hard, hey, no, I can't go and party at 1 a.m. because I have a long run the next day. But we're never going to sit there and say, hey, sorry your kid's sick, but you still got to go run these 16 miles. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're going to make sure that we know where the rest of that schedule is laying and where that run can maybe be moved or broken up if we need to. And just, again, kind of undo that box and that Rubik's cube that so many of us are left with that we don't even realize until we're in it.
Yeah, I think that's such a great reminder, Coach. I think it's also a great reminder that we can give that very objective push for folks. So of course, if something's come up and the person's getting called into work, or they have a sick kiddo or some of the responsibility, we can figure out how to make that happen for them. But we're also here for those days where you just don't want to do it. And I know that we get lots of those messages where I'm not really feeling this run. And then we're able to really, I love looking at the metrics. And is it possible that maybe they've been having a little bit of, you can see their heart rate's been a bit higher, they probably do need an extra rest day, or is it just that they're kind of hitting those peak miles and you don't really feel it, and it's a great time to be like, hey, let's just get you out there for an easier run and see if we can get you back into the workout that we had planned. So it's a balance that I think really is super beneficial for folks as they work towards their goals. So I know that I'm a big fan of the goal digger kind of frame of mind, but I'm also a big fan of making this work for you for the long run and really finding out how it's balanced for your long-term longevity or your relationship with yourself and with running. So again, folks, we can't wait to chat with you. We will have that one-on-one application open. We ask you to fill it out, and then you will be contacted by either Coach Shelby or myself for us to set up a consultation, because we want to make sure that we have a good conversation with you, that we figure out, is this the right fit? Are we able to help you with what you're looking for? And of course, you have that opportunity to ask us those hard-hitting questions like, I don't know, are you going to give me a Disney workout?
Well, if there's two athletes that definitely come to mind with Disney, as well as being flexible with their schedules, it is our guests, because they're busy, they're professionals, they're doctors to boot. And I don't know, I think it's about time that we bring them on in.
Let's do it.
We are very excited, as always, to welcome not one, but two very special guests to the brunch table today. We've deemed them the royal couple of TFB training. Both of these lovely individuals are athletes on our TFB training roster and are tackling not just their miles on their own, but also tackling it solo, together, and everything in between. So welcome to Nick Tobiansky and Julie Sakwija. How are you both doing? We are so happy to have you here.
No, we're very excited to be here today.
Absolutely. Can't wait to talk to you guys on the brunch podcast. How cool is this?
It feels like it was only a matter of time, because again, you guys are such a bright sunshine aspect of our athlete roster. And while we love every single person that we get to work with, there is something incredibly special about the fact that you guys share all of your miles and smiles together. You support each other. You are incredibly supportive of the entire community, but I think there's a little extra special support for each other. I love seeing you guys tackle some of these really big, audacious goals together. So, of course, I got to ask something right off the gate. I don't even know if this is going to make it to the podcast, but I want to know, because I've heard a little bit of a pet name, a little bit of a nickname that's intriguing. So, Julie, do you have a nickname for Nick? And are we allowed to talk about it here?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's pretty funny. I call Nick Kola. So Nick is Ukrainian as part of his heritage. And so one time Nick had injured his knee pretty badly and he had gotten some crutches. So his nephew, who was maybe about 2 at the time and just kind of learning to put words together, was trying to get around him. So Kola was teasing him and putting crutches over here and crutches over there. And finally his nephew, who would usually call him Mikola because that is his Ukrainian name, just goes, Kola out.
And so, it stuck.
And it stuck. I call him Kola. His nephew still calls him Bicko Mick, so I just call him Kola.
I love that. And now, Nick, do you have a special nickname for Julie? Besides your highness, of course.
Of course. So we have 3 wonderful cats. They're around here somewhere, actually, here. So in Ukrainian, cats... or a diminutive form of cat is Kita. So I call her my Kita mama.
Aww. So
she's a...
collective awes from everybody who's listening in at this point, I'm sure. There's no doubt about that. Well, you guys definitely have...
Well, we've had a dog mom, and now we have a cat mom, so it works.
It is fair, right? We definitely want to be inclusive here at brunch, so I think it was time for us to have a little bit of cat parent representation. There's no doubt about that. So besides being cat parents and incredible loving spouses and tackling miles, do you guys want to give us a little bit about who you are? Nick, I'm going to turn this question over to you, and maybe how you got started running.
So how I started running, I grew up playing sports, soccer, fencing, and hockey. So part of running was just the mundane part of soccer. And I think we've had discussions before that I hated running earlier, as it was, I get to soccer practice, like, okay, run a mile. And I know... no direction, it would just kind of just run a mile. No speed, no how you tackle it, no strategy, anything like that. So it was always a part of soccer I hated was running, but I knew it made it easier. And as I went on in my adult life, running was just something to keep fit, and being in the Air Force, I had to run, obviously, for PT. I think where we got our competitive running start was a couple years ago. Julie said, well, let's do the Princess Half Marathon, or Princess Runs, I guess. That was 2020, just before the world shut down. And Julie had a friend that wanted to do it as well, and Julie's like, oh, let's just do the 10K. So I said, okay, well, 5K was a long distance, 10K I think I can manage. So the morning of, Julie signs up for, or goes on the website, and she's like, you know what, the 10K is closed, but the half marathon is open. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, dude, how am I ever going to get this done here? So I said, okay, just sign me up for the half marathon. So that first year, the couple we were running with, for some reason, they couldn't make it. So basically, I was stuck there doing the half marathon by myself. So I have no guidance whatsoever. We have a treadmill in our basement, and that's pretty much my training, was trying to figure something out. So I did a couple of Google searches, and I found a half marathon program that I liked, and the rest is history.
Okay, Nick, that is fascinating, and this says a lot about the relationship right off the gate. Julie, why? Why straight into 13.1?
And how accurate is that story? Because we gotta know. Like, there's this one side, there's another side, and then somewhere's the truth. So how accurate is that depiction of that story?
I just want to make a conjecture. I think it's about 148% accurate. But just based off of the little bit that I've met of their personalities, how accurate actually is it, though, Julie?
So, well, I was one of those girls who kind of had avoided PE if I could. I was in marching band because that gave you all your gym credits that you needed without having to actually get in a swimming pool. So that was me. But the trick is that I was like, okay, well, I heard about this race where firefighters will give you Tiffany necklaces. And so I was looking around on the internet for this race, and in the same article, it talked about this Disney princess race. And I was like, well, that sounds just like me. So I figured we would sign up. So not knowing anything about the Run Disney culture or anything like that, I had gone onto the website, tried to sign up for the race, and everything started getting sold out. So in my mind, I mean, 10K, half marathon, they're all really long distances. So Nick can do one if he can do the other. I mean, he looks athletic. So I signed him up. Why not?
Oh my goodness. I love that there's such a sense of confidence with the love that you have for each other. You're like, sure, he could do that. He could just do a marathon tomorrow. Okay, so not Tiffany necklaces, but a little bit of a tiara. So I could see why Princess would come into play. Were you guys big Disney fans before Run Disney, or has it converted you into big Disney fans now?
No, we were always big Disney fans. So a little bit about our history. So we met about 10 years ago, well, a little bit more than 10 years ago. And at the time, we were both in school. Actually, we have a funny story about how we met. But we both met in school. We were doing our rotations. And then right after I graduated, I went to the Air Force. I was stationed in Tampa. And we kind of started talking at that point. And she came down a few times to visit. And one of our first official dates was actually at Epcot. And it's actually coming up here, the anniversary on the 22nd. So.
Oh, my goodness. Aww. Okay,
we're such saps. We're both like, oh, like, wait. There's a lot. So I think first we should roll back that you both are in the medical field. So your rotations and everything is in that context. I actually didn't know you served, so thank you for your service.
Okay, I do want to take it back to this first date on Epcot, because when I think of amazing dates, I think of actually getting to tour the world. So how did you guys tackle it? And the most important question, did you go Mexico or Canada?
Well, the question actually is a one-off, because we actually went through the international gate.
Yes, you're my people.
There wasn't the Skyliner back then, but it was through there. So we kind of went there. So I guess it was technically England, but it was Food and Wine Fest. And so we went and we tried a whole bunch of things, and that was pretty much it. We kind of went toward the world. I told her eventually one day I'll take her around the world, and I did, the first date.
So I think you've and I'm probably jumping ahead. Shelby, feel free to tell me that this is too fast, but I can't help it because they're talking about showing the world. You guys, if you were to reference a character for each other, would it be a little bit of Aladdin and Jasmine, or is there another character that you feel more akin to or that you feel the other one represents a bit more?
Well, I've always called Julie my sleeping beauty, just because of the specialty she's in. Sometimes she has to sleep when she has to, so I've always been calling her my sleeping beauty.
Our very own Princess Aurora!
Or do you like Briar Rose better? Which one?
Depends on how much trouble I'm in, then you can use my full name.
And Julie, how about you? Is Nick your Prince Charming, or do you have another character that you feel he represents more so?
So I think Nick really represents Carl from Up, which is really funny because when I first met him, it had actually just been his birthday. So when we were talking, he was on his phone, kind of texting friends back, thank you, and all this stuff. And in my mind, I'm like, he doesn't like me. I don't know. He doesn't like me. So, but when you tear down this like exterior shell of, you know, he's very professional and he's actually kind of quiet. And so getting through all that, and you can tell that he really cares about people and it's just an exterior.
Aww. So you're not a grumpy old man. You just play one on TV.
Or on a podcast. So let's bring it back to Run Disney 2020. So you guys, would you consider yourself newer runners? Or do you feel like you're getting back to your roots a little bit, even if you skipped all of those required miles back in gym class days?
So this is definitely, it was a new foray into a whole new field for me. I think that for the most part, I had gotten into it mostly because I just wanted some bling. So that was where I was at with that. But it was interesting because we had gotten to do kind of the whole thing. So we got to do the expo and I got to meet some people who were really passionate about it. And I think that really did spark something. I mean, watching Nick train for it, watching other people just get really into the sport in general. And I don't even think that I had called running a sport before then. I apologize. That's terrible. But I didn't even call running a sport before then because I was like, well, it's just a race. You go run, everyone can run. But not realizing all the aspects that went into it. And it's been so cool and so eye-opening about all the things that go into, you know, being this kind of athlete. It's super cool.
And I love that you guys are able to do it together. And I know obviously with your respective schedules, it's definitely very difficult to get it all in, to sync up on your schedules, your runs and everything. But your coach has nothing but lovely things to say about both of you and your work ethic. It's not like she's listening at all as I'm saying this either. So don't worry, you won't get any brownie points for the schmoozing. But I actually did finally get the opportunity to meet you guys in real life at a Run Disney event. And it was really cool to be able to put actual people to names, to the faces and everything. And I know you guys did the cruise as well and did the K5K. Yeah. How was that? Because everybody always has like different takeaways from that, because while it's a Run Disney race, you don't have the same fireworks and early morning wake-ups and there's libations that you could have prior to the race. So how was that experience?
Right after that, I believe it was in March. So it's basically, Disney has their own private island, Castaway Key, and they have a marked off path. And it's kind of an out and back from one of the huts in the area there. And it takes you past some pretty significant, or pretty nice, I guess you could say, areas of the island. There's actually about halfway through, there's a big tower that you can actually go up there and kind of see the whole island. There's basically no marshals, no balloon ladies, nothing like that. They have a couple water jugs just sitting everywhere like that. But it's basically just timed on your own. You do whatever you want. You can walk the whole thing if you want. And it's probably the most scenic 5K I've ever had.
Sounds like the ultimate stranger danger race. Just jugs of water, just sitting there, you know, out in the open. No big deal.
Poor Shelby. All of those different things.
Well, the turnaround point, there's a big bar there, so I guess you could stop on at the halfway mark and have a drink or two and come on back.
I mean, that sounds perfect for me, but I probably would make every race that way anyway, so I don't know if I need to take a cruise to be able to do that. Now, I am curious. So you guys started running 2020 was kind of the heralded in. It's probably 2019 to train for the 2020 race. And then the world shuts down and you're still running, of course. What are the lessons that you learned during this time? Because, Julie, as you mentioned, I think when I first came to running, I don't know that I would have called it a sport at all. I don't think I would have even put that in my head. I was such not an athletically minded individual where I just assumed that it was just kind of a way to get out and moving. That was pretty much it for me. So what kind of a lesson or lessons would you say are your biggest takeaways as you are now endeavoring to tackle some really big goals? Nick is working towards his first marathon. Julie is working towards a personal best at the half marathon distance. They're both going to be tackling Princess next year, which will be super exciting. So what are some of the takeaways?
So it's funny that you mentioned kind of the world shutting down and, you know, kind of what that meant to runners around, you know, around the world at that time. And so we had met a gentleman through social media, because obviously when no one can get out, everyone is stuck inside communicating differently. And so he had mentioned that he wanted to do something called the Home Run Marathon, which is basically where you could run a marathon if you wanted to, but the whole essence was you could say that you ran a marathon without actually having run a marathon. So he set up a fake marathon, which was really interesting in that you could go ahead and do all this stuff. So we sponsored it. And actually the race shirts say Nick's mom's name on them because we dedicated it to teachers, because the race sponsorship actually went to donorschoose.org, which then basically teachers can go on the website and say, this is what I need for my classroom and all that stuff. So the thing is, we got interviewed by the Washington Post about all this. And actually who had ended up interviewing us was a very avid runner. And so when the article actually ended up coming out, they thought that we were being very snarky and like kind of that. And the thing is that it was one of those naive moments where I, again, didn't realize what it meant when the whole world shut down and people had been training for marathons and training for half marathons and what it meant that they couldn't do their race. And so it actually even piqued my curiosity more because, you know, people are so dedicated to this. I really do wonder like the emotional aspects and kind of the mental strain that it means to them, not just in the physical aspect, but also kind of in that mentation as well.
I think also as an intellectual for both of you to like want to know the inner workings, it's almost in a roundabout way, like I want to diagnose a runner. Like what makes the runner tick? Like what do they need? What do they not need?
I totally have an answer for this, Shelby. Espresso.
Oh,
yeah. Espresso. I mean, that's what makes us tick, or caffeine, yeah. And we need more of it.
Or Mickey shake foods.
Espresso primary, and then all the other fuel. I love that you mentioned that, Julie, though, and I want to bring that to a really quick note, not trying to get up on a soapbox, but I think that as runners, as we start to get more into it, we can almost forget the early days of coming to the sport and not knowing a lot about it. So we'll get frustrated when somebody accidentally calls a 5K a marathon, or they maybe don't know race day etiquette. And there's a lot of those little things that, while of course with Time for Brunch we want to try to help educate, but we also want to educate, if you've been in the game for some time, let's have a little bit of grace, because there were days where we didn't know any of the things and we're still probably confused by some lingo or the other. So I think that's a really good point, Julie. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I love, though, that you guys felt kind of like, okay, there's something to this. There's something clearly magical or maybe obsessive. And either way, I want to know more. So did it click for you guys at some point for it to become magical and or a little obsessive?
I kind of felt that once we did the first Princess Half Marathon, or at least you know, we were participating in there, that she saw how things were going, and I think that Julie was definitely the driving force to continue on as the world reopened after COVID. So it was, I expected more Run Disney. I did not expect that about a year ago now, she's like, hey, let's do a marathon. I was like, what? So that's how we kind of started doing our marathon training now. And as I'm not sure when this podcast is coming out, but about a month from now is when I'm tackling the Mankato Marathon in Minnesota.
Well, we're all going to be cheering you guys on. We're very, very excited. You guys have been training through quite a few different, as Shelby's already mentioned, quite a few schedule, like hiccups, if you will, or just you have very busy lives. You're on call pretty much every single weekend. So it makes long runs interesting. I know there's been plenty of times where you guys are having to get out for a long run and maybe have to figure out how to come back and do it a little bit later and finish it up. So I think that the lesson to be learned and the takeaway of whether you're training for your first marathon or your 500th marathon is that you have to be a bit flexible with how you pursue it. And I love that you guys are really great about doing that and giving yourself both a little bit of grace and a little bit of oomph to get out there and finish it, even if it doesn't look ideal. So great work for that, guys. Now, with that said, we also know that you're part of the TFB community, and you guys always add so much extra fun between your responses to some of the engagement questions that we have in the TFB training. Julie, I think that you may be rivaling Coach Shelby for the puntastic throne. Do I feel a little bit of a rivalry going on here?
Oh my gosh, I love puns so much.
Are you just going to join forces?
Yeah.
I don't think there can be a competition. There's enough room for everybody in the pun game. And again, we're both fan geeks. Like, we were meant to find each other. Running was not probably the segue either of us would have thought would be where we would wound up connecting. But hey, band, running, music, puns, it all goes together. And she likes coffee. So again, what can we do?
I mean, that's kind of our requirement. So if you guys decide to ever join us for an athlete one-on-one, that's probably going to be in the questionnaire. How do you take your coffee? What do you like regarding, like, well, how do you drink it? And of course, are you cool with the pun game? Because that's definitely absolutely a necessity. I feel like there's a little bit of a band geek kind of thing, too. We have a lot of band members.
Yeah.
Which, again, I've mentioned in the group, and I'm going to mention here, there's a lot of consistency that carries over. Do you feel like you have traits from earlier in your life that you see kind of really being valuable as you progress in your running journeys?
So I was in marching band, and of course my first real band director was actually also military. So he was a retired army from the army band. So to be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. I don't think I took that lesson very deeply to heart, just saying I'm kind of a fashionably late kind of a girl, but I mean, other things are, you know, just discipline. There's a little bit of practice every day, and sometimes that's what's needed to improve. So you don't necessarily need to do the whole symphony, just the section that you really need to work on. So In translating that to running a little bit, I mean, maybe there's drills or a short run that you can do. And, you know, I'm kind of getting into this whole 80-20 thing. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid there a little bit too, of easy runs sometimes mean better runs later. So, you know, I think that sort of a mentality of, you know, do the things that you need to do so that you can do the things you have to do later. And I think that that helps with musicianship as well.
Nick, before you respond, I also want to ask Julie, so you gave us a really good idea of some of the traits and things that you learned early on that played into your running. I also now want to know, what are some of the things that from running that you now see that you're using more in the rest of your life?
Oh, so I would say, so when you first started doing your workshops, you did the vision board. And so I still have a vision board kind of up by my wall. And my favorite quote, which is right in the corner so I can see it every day, is progress, not perfection. And so I kind of use that throughout everything. So if I'm like, even if I put the laundry in the washing machine and turn it on, even if I don't necessarily get it to the dryer right away, that's something. So progress, not perfection, is really kind of trickled into everything.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got some big takeaways. And Nick, do you like how I gave you a little bit of extra time to think on this as I like put Julie in the hot spot? Occasionally, I can be nice occasionally. So Nick, now, what are some of the traits that maybe you had earlier on in life that you see are playing into your consistency with your running? And what are some takeaways from running that play into your everyday life?
So earlier in my life, obviously coming from the Air Force background here, they're basically, it's kind of like the pillars of the Air Force. It's integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all you do. And I was just thinking to myself, like, with all of training for the marathon and all the runs here is that, you know, I'm running for myself and for primarily for myself, but, you know, my community. But what stops me from saying, well, I did the 18 miles and kind of just say, okay, I did 18 miles and that's it. If I don't do them, it's just myself that I'm hurting. So that's where the integrity part comes in. So I think in my whole life, the integrity first, you know, doing what's right, even when nobody else is watching. So I think that that's a big thing. And then service before self, obviously, with our jobs, we have to sometimes delay a run or anything like that to take care of our patients or whatever situation is going on. And then excellence in all you do, just try to be the best in everything you can do. So I kind of live by that motto. I think even before I was in the military, but it definitely stuck my whole life.
I think, guys, I'm so glad I have mascara on because I'm blinking back like the like water welling up because that's such a beautiful, it's integrity, such a powerful word. And I think it's something that we don't necessarily even, I've never put a name to it when it comes to running, but absolutely that's what comes to mind is integrity. And again, I don't want to muss my mascara. So I'm going to blink that back a little bit. So let's head into a lighter conversation here. You guys also, not do you just tackle miles, not do you put a lot of integrity behind your training. And of course, thank you so much for the service that you guys do in taking care of making the world a healthier place. I also want to know your costumes because you guys totally kick some asphalt when it comes to costumes. So Nick, we have to say there is one specific photo of one of your costumes, but I want to hear from you. What are your favorite costumes?
So doing the Princess marathons, obviously we try to costume every so often here. The iconic picture you're talking about is actually Peter Pan in front of the castle. So for those who don't know, at the Princess half marathon, at about mile 6 or so, there's a detour through Magic Kingdom where you actually run through the castle. And basically at the base of the castle, they have a whole bunch of photographers there. And as long as their number is visible, they can even upload it to your account and you basically get the picture there. So this particular year, I was Peter Pan, and I saw one of the photographers at the bottom, and I kind of did a Peter Pan pose, and the rest is history. So that's why probably my favorite costume, just because of that picture here. That year, I also went as Maui from Moana, but then I got to a point where sometimes the costumes got a little bit too much, like, weighing me down here, so I did more, like, Disney bounding. Mm-hmm. So last year, or kind of, I did Mickey Mouse. So I had the dark shirt on. I had a red shorts on. I had the Mickey ears. Actually, I found a baseball hat with the Mickey ears on it, and I kind of went like that way. So I thought that might be a little bit easier instead of being a more elaborate costume, especially for a half marathon.
The funny thing is, the first picture I ever saw of you was that Peter Pan picture, and forever, like, that's just you. Like, when I think of you, I associate you with Peter Pan. So it was a heck of a first impression. I think that should be like your official headshot for anything professional, because everybody's always going to remember you. It's like, oh yeah, the Peter Pan dude. Like, all your accolades will go to the wayside, but that's going to be your calling card.
I still ask him to do the Peter Pan face, to be honest.
He's got to stay practice.
Yeah.
It's really classic. And if you guys are wondering where this photo is at, you can find it in our Ultimate Run Disney Challenge Guide. So definitely, if you haven't already signed up to get that sent to you, you're going to want to, because you'll see Nick's infamous costume. You're going to see Julie gracing the cover quite a few times. So Julie, tell us about your favorite costume.
So it's one that we actually haven't done yet. So I'm really excited for our next 5K because we've already purchased our costumes. And so hopefully we can talk about this whole villain thing because I cannot wait. But one of my favorite villains is actually one that's kind of not really thought of as maybe a villain. It's Madame Mim. And so I think the reason that I really like her is that it's not really, I mean, she's just mischievous. She's kind of an old lady hanging out in her house, and someone told her she wasn't the best at what she did. So she's going to go ahead and turn into a dragon and show them who's what. So
I didn't know that was her name.
Yes. Isn't she cool? I mean, she goes from like Buxom Beauty to maybe like little old crone pig. It's awesome. It's terrific.
Oh, are you going to do a purple wig or are you going to dye your hair?
Purple wig. I already bought it. You put it on backwards and fluff it, and then it's perfect her. So yeah, I bought a little dress from the run. You know, it's like a oh gosh, I can't even think of it, but they make little skater dresses and it's awesome. And Nick's maybe going to be Merlin.
You'd make a really solid Merlin.
Maybe. I like that, which I feel like that's a definite. I mean, yeah. you did. You guys did just hear her say that she signed him up for a half marathon because everything else was full. So that Merlin costume is already at home. There's no doubt about
it. Nick's just like chilled through all this too. Like, even though you guys can't see it right now, he's like, yeah, that tracks. Yeah, like, yeah, it's yeah. just, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like if you really didn't want to do something, you'd be like, that's kind of inconvenient, but okay.
No, that's totally true. I don't understand. Oh my gosh. There are a lot of wives that are like, I don't understand how my husband could say no. And that's totally Nick. He just like, yeah, you brought home a bunch of like, you know, baby sharks. I guess I'll build an aquarium. This is super inconvenient though.
That's the meme I was exactly thinking of. Don't worry. We'll classify you at least 15 different ways between now and then for each of you. So don't worry. You'll come out with a whole bunch of personalities you never even knew that you had or needed by the time this whole recording is done.
It did.
But before we leave Run Disney, because I do want to know some non-Run Disney aspects, but because obviously you know my love for Mickey-shaped food, and this is a brunch podcast, when you're done with the half marathon that Julie has assigned to you, and Julie is done being the most glorious princess of all the lands, where are you guys going in Disney for that post-run fuel?
So when Julie signed me up for that first post-run, or for the first half marathon in 2020, I told her, I'll do it, but we have to go to my restaurant for celebration. And it just so happened that my parents were visiting Florida from Michigan, and they took a little detour, so they had to happen to be there. One of my favorite types of food, not the favorite, but definitely in Disney, is the beer garden. I love German food, I love German beer. And so I figured, oh, I just ran 13 miles, I can eat whatever I want. So went to beer garden afterwards. My parents had one beer because I definitely was dehydrated and I was feeling it already. That was pretty big, one of the big liter ones here. But that was my favorite, at least in Disney World. Now, things have changed in the last few years, but that was my first celebration meal after.
Sounds like the perfect celebration meal. That is one of the fun restaurants as well. And this is perfect timing because Food and Wine is currently going on right now in celebration of your anniversary, of course, because that's why Disney does it every year. And of course, we have Wine and Dine right around the corner. So Julie, what about you? What would you suggest that folks that are potentially tackling one of these races at Run Disney soon that they should celebrate with?
So I think there's a bit of a sleeper hit restaurant that I'm going to tell people and they're going to be like, no way. Go to Steakhouse 71 for breakfast. It's so good. The portions are terrific. The prices aren't terrible, especially considering it's Disney prices. And it's a short walk away from Magic Kingdom, so you can start your day after you eat your breakfast without having to get on any public transportation. It's fantastic. So, and they have the traditional stuff. They have a little bougie stuff. And they have a good mix of sweet and savory. So no matter what team you're on, you are going to be quenched.
Are you sure you're not a diplomat?
I was going to say, what a diplomat. Seriously.
The fact that we both thought of the word at the same time.
Absolutely. That's it. Because that was such a quintessential perfectly, like, I'm not going to choose a team here. I'm well aware that I'm just going to be asked that here soon. And I'm staking the ground right now that I'm cool with both. So is that what we're hearing, Julie?
Listen,
you have a little sweet and savory in your life.
I am French toast and bacon. Yum.
Yeah. How can you go wrong?
That's right.
Even though you could do French toast bacon or pancake bacon and really just make those combos. I could get down with that. I can share.
I feel like, Shelby, I can bring you over to Team Sweet more often when it has Disney involved, because as long as I like add a Mickey shape to it, like, we're good. If it's a Mickey shaped beignet, Mickey shaped waffle, whatever it is on the sweet side, I feel like it's Mickey shaped. You'll take it. Nick, do you have a favorite Mickey shaped food or sweet or savory when you're at Disney?
I'm more Team Savory at Disney. Mickey shaped foods usually I share with Julie, whatever she gets, and I'll take a bite or two of. One of my guilty pleasures at Disney, though, is actually in Magic Kingdom at Columbia Harbor House. I love the lobster roll there. So whenever we go there, that's usually one of my go-tos.
Okay, I have literally gone to Columbia Harbor House just on like an average day where I wanted to grab something and had to park at transportation, ride the boat over, go all the way there just to have lunch and then leave.
Let me get this world's smallest violin with that. Like, that was like the lowest key brag I think I've ever heard.
Humble brag. Yes, I'm pretty lucky. They no longer carry what I love, so I would not do that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about before we part ways, and for folks that maybe don't have the Run Disney love that we do, I don't know why you guys wouldn't, but okay, let's say you don't. What are some of the things that you guys would like to see happen with your running journey? Do you have a big audacious goal hanging out on that vision board for maybe a year, 5 years, 10 years?
So Nick kind of mentioned that he's doing the marathon in the next month or so. And I think that that's probably one of my next goals, is to actually do a longer distance. But kind of what Coach and I have been working on recently is more pacing and cadence. And so, when I first got into running, my minute per mile time, so you're not defined by your pace, no way. But my minute per mile time was 20 minutes per mile. So this is 2020. We're talking the 5K that I signed myself up for and not the half marathon Nick signed himself up for. But basically, you know, I'm sitting there at 20 minutes a mile. So if I'm doing these dedicated long runs, I mean, I'm out there for 4 hours just to do a few miles. And so I think that I really do want to get just a little bit faster in pacing. But I know that that doesn't mean necessarily that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I think that when I put in the, you know, the 4 hours of work, it's still 4 hours of work, no matter what. So
absolutely. Amen, Julie. And that is absolutely true. So I think the word that comes to mind is like efficiency. We want to be efficient with our time. Again, you're super busy. So we're trying to figure out ways to make sure that it happens within the seams of all of the other things of your life. So I love that you're mentioning that. And again, inclusive of cats, inclusive of pacing around here in these hair parts. So Nick, what about you with your big audacious goals that you have on your...
As we're recording this, we're part in the middle of the challenge here. And one of the questions you asked last week made me actually kind of think of something you asked. With this being an interview together with my wonderful wife, one of my quotes in life, I guess you can say, I'm a big Dave Matthews Band fan, and one of my favorite songs is number 41, and there's a quote that said, "I'm only this far, and only tomorrow leads my way." It's been a quote with me my whole life. When I graduated high school, college, everything like that, big milestones, and even the day we got married, I wrote that on my card to Julie. So I changed it a little bit, that I'm only this far and only tomorrow leads our way. And actually last anniversary, she bought a print of it written that way. And it's hanging in our new house right now. So it reminds me of it. But what that means to me in running is every time I start a new goal, it's just, that's how far I'm going that time. I still have so much more to do here. So I guess I would tackle the half marathon, now I'm tackling the marathon. And so far, that's what has led my way. So I'm interested in seeing how things progress after the half marathon, or after the full marathon. In my back of my mind, sometimes I think, well, let's try an ultra marathon. I'm very gadgety and like to carry things and things like that. So I think, well, having a cool vest might be pretty cool. Not necessarily thinking about the running aspect of it, but just the gadgets and all that fun stuff you take with you.
I love what motivates us to run, like a cool vest, bling, Mickey shaped snacks, all of the things that like definitely get a little bit of a fire. I love that quote. I love that you guys are quite literally shaping your future together. And I don't know about anybody else who's listening, but I feel like I need to go force my partner to go out for a run with me now, because I'm like, I want this. This is amazing. I love how you guys are so incredibly supportive of each other.
I'm really curious now what ultra Julie's going to sign him up for, because that's going to be my new shtick for the rest of the time. Julie, I'm just going to hand you over my racing calendar and be like, these are the dates I can do. Just find me a race. Like, you're going to be my race picker. And then Christine can just coach me. We're gonna work on this way.
Perfect. I'm in. Absolutely. If I didn't do what I did for a living, I would probably plan Disney vacations, but I could maybe add this on as kind of a, you know, we'll do run destinations. That would be so fun.
In all your free time. While you're literally saving lives, we're just gonna, you know, slide that in.
Well, friends, I'm going to go ahead and say that with the fact that we have our very own royal couple here, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. But I also want to kind of throw in a little bit of a Peter Pan quote, where I think that with people who are listening to this and are thinking of tackling their own big audacious goals, or maybe at a cusp of making some different changes in their own running journey, that we're going to say that with a little bit of faith, trust, and pixie dust, you have everything that you need to make those miles go by. So thank you again, Julie and Nick, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This was wonderful.
I know I say this with every couple we have on, but they are officially the cutest freaking couple on the face of the earth. And I'm serious. I may have Julie just take our little bit of our roulette runs and do that with my races and just let her tell me what's going on, because she seems to have a pretty good handle on what Nick's good at and what she's good at. And I like
that. It's funny because I feel like of the two, when it comes to certain things, I may be more flexible than you are. And that strikes panic into my heart, turning over my race calendar to someone else. Girl.
I think that's a season I'm in. Where it's like, yeah, let's just throw caution to the wind. No, not really. I'll take a mindful approach, but still.
Well, friends, if you received your newsletter this week, you also saw that we had, inspired by Julie and Nick, a little bit of what does your coffee say about you as a runner. So we heard both of their coffee choices. And of course, Coach Shelby and I haven't necessarily been very shy about our coffee preferences either. So we want to hear from you. Did we get it right? Does it sound like you? Is this an absolute accurate depiction of how you take your coffee and how you see yourself as a runner? I'm a little bit of like smorgasbord of coffee. So my go-to is a quad espresso, and I usually have a tad of almond milk, and I like it over ice. So I feel like with our coffee profiler as a runner, it does say that I'm a little bit of all over the place, an adventurer with my iced coffee, a speedster. That likely isn't true, but I do chat fast. I do think fast.
I was about to say.
I do have a lot. My fast comes out in different ways, so that when I get to my running, it is a little bit more about switching up my terrains. Gosh, I love all of these different aspects from the runner profile. Beach running, trail running, cityscapes, all of them. I even travel with my running shoes whenever I go on any kind of a car trip because of that. But Coach, do you think that did it nail you, the running profile? Do you feel like it speaks to your heart and who you are?
I think it does, which is kind of funny as you're saying that about like me throwing caution to the wind. So my base profile is a half decaf, half regular. Mm-hmm. That's how I drink my normal day-to-day coffee. And it says I'm a balanced runner, which I like to think so. And I'm finding that perfect balance between intensity, relaxation. I enjoy a gentle jog. And then I like my sprints, which I do love my strides, especially at the end of my run. So I would say overall, I'm not bad at my coffee profile.
Well, I can't wait to hear from others. I mean, because I feel like I think we're gonna get people pretty dead on. Like the decaf runner, the mindful runner, I can see that. I could see where somebody doesn't necessarily want the caffeine to like influence their pacing or their breathing or their heart rate. So they're able to kind of just ease into the run, but still like the taste of coffee. Though I personally don't understand the decaf coffee world. I respect you guys all for who you are.
Easy there, quad espresso.
Yes, okay. I mean,
you're a trained professional.
I am. Please don't try this at home, folks. We're definitely going to ask you to ease up into it. And then if you want to join me in detoxing on the other side, because you're going to need to. You can't go past four shots of espresso without getting into a danger zone. But with that said, Coach, we're going to also chat about how to maybe get our partners into running. Because as we heard, the love that Julie and Nick exemplify for each other, we get to see it here with when we get to record with our guests and have video. But even on the things that they do for their runs, in terms of, I feel like one of the things that I've had to work on them both with is I need you to do this run for you, not necessarily what the other individual needs for their run. And it's difficult because they want to be able to be there to support each other. So now we have figured out ways for them to kind of, you know, kiss, wish each other well, go do their separate runs, and then be there to support and encourage each other for the rest of the run. So there's something special about that. And I have to say that there's definitely that, oh, I wish I... I wish I was a little bit taller. And I also wish that maybe I could get my partner into running. But let's talk about maybe how we can get our partners into maybe just dipping their toes into it. So you've got some ideas, Coach, and I'm curious if you're using these with your spouse.
So yeah, this was inspired partially by Julie and Nick, and then also within our Time for Brunchers Facebook group. This was one of our Coffee with the Coaches questions from Jackie, and she asked that her husband and her were signed up for a race. She was training. He was less than enthused. What should she do? So like everything else here, Brunch had led us down a little bit of a running rabbit hole, and I put my thinking cap on, my tips and my tricks. I have my husband, sorry for listening, I have tried some of these. They have not all been successful, but we're still young and hopeful that one day his knees will stop screaming at him, because he does have some older knees that makes it a little bit difficult. But the biggest thing I always say is start with walks,
yeah.
Especially if you have a spouse that is not a runner or maybe just doesn't really get the whole running aspect. Go for walks. Use it as your warm up, or even maybe have them meet you for your cool down if you're trying to have a little two birds with one stone type of mentality. And there's nothing wrong with maybe if it's a cool down, have an adult beverage of choice or a beverage of choice and taking a nice little sunset cruise around the neighborhood, or maybe a little coffee in the morning before you all part ways for work. It can be a big game changer and be, again, like we always say, that little bit of confetti, that little bit of a stepping stone that might just pique their interest.
I think that that's perfect in tying it back to the running coffee profile. It could also be that our partners need maybe a little bit of a different aspect. So maybe they just hate like the idea of walking in the neighborhood, or they don't like the specific route that you usually use. See if it's something of like switching up the scenery that might excite them or get them a bit enthusiastic to join you in on it as well. I know with my partner, definitely not a huge fan of running, huge fan of hiking. Any chance that he can get to get out there, which is a little rare here in Florida, but still, so that's something that we're able to kind of share together. So I see that as a possibility, because he hates that city suburban area of walking and running, but likes it getting out into the trails. Of course, like every other aspect, whether you're thinking of, if you're walking and you're thinking of getting into running here, or if it's your spouse that you're trying to get, or maybe a kiddo, I know a lot of people want to inspire their kids to get into running as well, is start small. If they have that desire, if they've expressed it, let's maybe not sign them up for the half marathon without their permission, allegedly. Let's maybe consider starting them small with a walk around the block, as Coach Shelby already said, or maybe a 5K a few months away that lets them kind of feel like there's something to work toward, but not necessarily being so overwhelming for them.
Yeah, exactly. And again, because a lot of times we are all multitaskers, maybe again, ask them for your warm-up mile or warm-up 5-minute walk, and then they can come for a little bit before you. Or again, maybe you give them a ring as you're in your cool down. So that way you're still, like you said, honoring your run and not disrupting your goals and your running, but you're kind of, again, trying to make the room and meeting them where they're at, while also making sure that you're doing what you need to do for your specific training.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both of our spouses do quite often for us when we're in training for some of those longer miles, is they're not going to run. They can't necessarily walk to keep up with us. So they'll pop onto their bikes to join us for some quality time of keeping us in conversation pace. Or again, as my other half, well, he'll quite literally pedal ahead and hold on to my beverage for hydration so that I can be motivated to go that extra little bit of pep.
I feel like there's probably a little heckling too. I get heckling.
Do you get heckling?
Oh, he heckles me.
Aww. But I think you guys have that kind of fun little sassy conversation pace going. So I could see where there'd be a little bit of fun like that. I think, again, though, there's some perks of not having a significant other in the running world with you, because you have somebody who's willing to show up for race day and hold all your stuff. So
I was going to say, it's one of those to where I think a lot of people get stuck on that they want their partners, significant others, or even their family in general to physically participate mm-hmm. in the running aspect of our training. And it's hard because we love it so much. We want to share that. And so if it's not their jam, again, you can get them involved in different ways. Again, I've talked about my first marathon and even other races that I do. My dad, my spouse holds down the child. Well, like, you know what I mean? Watches the child. And my dad is my race day support. And he's always there with water if I need it, if I need anything, what have you. And he will never probably run a race with me. Mm. But having that support for me personally is almost more valuable because it keeps me going. And I don't necessarily get stuck in the, oh, should I speed up? Should I slow down? Where are they at? How are they feeling? So I really do love race day support. And a lot of people say, how do you get them to do it? First step is just asking. No one's mind readers. You can go ahead and just ask them, hey, I'd really like you to be there. Is that something you'd consider?
Coach Shelby, thank you so much for saying that. And we have to reiterate that as often as possible. Please, I hear from so many folks that they get frustrated with their significant others or their partners not being there on race day. They don't know. Half the time you guys are getting in those miles while they're still sleeping or maybe they're doing work. They don't really realize how much it means to you. They know that this thing has taken over your world and it's all you talk about, but they may not necessarily understand the importance of race day. So I love, Coach, that you're advocating for folks to just speak up, use your voice, say, hey, this is important to me. I need you there that morning.
And a lot of them don't even know what to write. Because again, let's face it, think back when you went for your first race.
Where do you park? Where do you go?
I had no idea.
What's wrong with all these humans? All those questions are going through your mind. Absolutely. So I think trying to map it out for them in a way that feels like it's minimizing any obstacles is definitely a great way of doing that as well.
It's a great taper activity. It'll keep you busy.
So much fun there. I think too, if they have decided to dip their toe and said, you know what? Okay, fine. I'm tired of you talking about this. I'm going to give it a try. And then maybe they sign up for a race thinking that they hit the gym, or maybe they play with like a local basketball league and they don't really get into training. That's definitely another conversation to have. But a quick reminder is to kind of, I like numbers. So a good mm-hmm. countdown is always the best thing that comes to mind, because I think that when we sign up for things, it sounds so far away, especially for some of these races where they may be 3, 6, maybe 8 months or 10 months away, and time catches up so quickly. So having a little bit of a countdown for folks to see and your spouse to see, oh, I have 8 weeks left till race day. It might be a good time for me to go ahead and dust off those running shoes that I bought when I first signed up to kind of get them motivated.
I do that with days. Like, I have X amount of days left. Because for me, when I see days, I realize, like, I'll wake up on a Monday and blink, and all of a sudden, it's Friday. It's very easy because, look, again, let's face it, 50 other million things to do in the week other than just running. So I think the days and kind of going back to the old school, like rip it off the wall, I'm a big fan of either that or a dry erase board, somewhere where you're gonna see it. Mostly, I would say either put it in the bathroom or the kitchen. Those are the two places everybody goes multiple times a day.
Yeah, and I think there's also really fun ways of keeping them motivated. So if they know with the days, I think it's fabulous. I love that. I love deadlines. It works for my brain as well. But maybe this individual needs a little bit of a different type of motivation. And maybe it comes down to where you break it down to the training miles. And you know that for the 5K that you guys are going to hit a training plan that's going to have this much time or this much miles, and then having them actually see, like, I've knocked off, I don't know, 40 miles towards my 150 mile goal or what the case may be. So that's always a fabulous way of doing it. Or like we use for our challenges, where we have a lot of folks join in on some of our challenges and we have mileage trackers, because I think that also gives you a really visual reminder of what you're working toward.
That's a great point. And something too, if you really are focused on getting your partner, and these work for friends too, for the record, but if you want them to run, a big thing is maybe there's an activity that they wanted to share with you that you haven't really been gung-ho about. Maybe you trade it off. Maybe they want to go golfing. Maybe they want to go fishing and they want you to be a part of it. maybe you try to reciprocate, saying okay, and do a little trade, barter, and steal.
Okay, this feels like it is a really deep connection to you specifically. Tell me what activity you have had to sign up for to get your spouse on board for some of these races that I know you've signed him up for.
So I haven't had to make any deep barterings, but I was joking with him that I really wanted him to do a marathon. And he said only if I went camping. And this is like off the grid camping in a tent, no bathroom, no cell service. And I don't play that game. So I have not taken that deal because that's a deep cut
so,
right there.
So marathon is probably off the chart or off the table for that. He's safe from marathoning. You're safe from camping. You're going to mark yourself safe from both those activities. Got it.
Yeah, I'm thinking I could get like Fort Wilderness camping and get him to do a half marathon. We'll see.
Okay. That would be, you guys should do that.
Right? That's a better trade-off.
I mean, obviously
I'd probably rent a cabin, but I'm gonna still take that as a win.
I think that counts. I mean, roughing it on Disney. We did just recently have bears attending Magic Kingdom, so there's no doubt it's still roughing it.
I would have absolutely lost my mind in the best way possible. Like, I would not have wanted to evacuate. I would have wanted to watch the entire saga unfold with the bear that was in Orlando.
Tigers are coming next. I think it's lions, then tigers, then bears. We started backwards. So tigers are next, and then we'll finish up with lions. And I really hope that we see some lion, tigers, and bears at some of the Run Disney costumes coming on up. But with that said, having fun is always a great way. Like, we preach that to our challenge members, to our training group members, to our one-on-ones here on the podcast. We cannot reiterate that enough. So if you really want your partner to join in on the fun, then you have to make it fun. Maybe it's a beer mile for them. Maybe it's a Ragnar type style run. Maybe it's a bubble run or an obstacle course.
Color
race.
Run.
Yeah, there's so many different ones out there. Find the ones that appeal to your partner or your friend, as you said, or maybe an adult child or a kiddo that you want to get in it. Definitely making it. And I think you do that as well, Coach. Don't you in your household? You guys have like a turkey trot tradition?
Yeah, we'll do the turkey trot every once in a while. Sometimes we'll go to different areas around us and try different races just because there's quite a few turkey trots in our area. So we don't necessarily always do the same one every year. And I think that can make it fun.
Yeah.
And doing a color run, doing different little ones, because again, it kind of whets the appetite. And who doesn't love a fun run? Again, always kind of go back to when I first started running, what made me excited? Because once you run for a while, yes, distances get you excited. Medals can get you excited, this and that. But a lot of us, like my first run was a color run. That's why I signed up, because I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
It still excites me today, but maybe a half marathon excites me a little bit more.
Right, right.
Now that speaks to my soul. So again, I think we preach it with our athletes in our training group and the one-on-ones. We talked about it in the beginning of the episode about that mindfulness. We always have to keep bringing it back to that mindfulness of having that self-awareness of ourselves, and then again, turning it outwardly for others.
Right. Absolutely. And speaking to the individual. So asking the question. So when you're maybe out on that cool down walk with that adult beverage or a coffee walk in the morning stroll, maybe having these type of conversations, like what would get you excited to potentially get out there? But you mentioned we went down a rabbit hole, which we tend to do. What else could we find that are associated with rabbits that maybe we could that we could help motivate our partners?
For the record, this is not how it happens in my household. I'm putting it on the record. But I have heard before some extra cardio and stretching to cap off a run can go a long way, if you catch my drift, and maybe bring some of that rabbit energy to after runs. Listen, whatever motivates people. Some people, it's some extracurriculars. Sometimes it's a hot cup of coffee. We are not here to judge. We are here to help.
So a little comforter calisthenics is what I'm hearing you say. for the record, friends, if you do decide to partake in that one-on-one application, you want to meet with us, likely we're not going to add that as your cross-training activity, but we trust you to use your own judgment as to if that counts for your cross-training.
Just stretch first.
And after, depending on how much of a calisthenics. But with that said, in the end, it really is super important. You can't force anyone. Half the time, it's difficult enough for us to force ourselves to get laced up and get out there. Yeah. So don't expend too much energy on coulda, woulda, I wish. Just love the partner that you're with for who they are. And also remember that they love you and all of your craziness, because gosh knows that we bring in a whole lot of crazy into the world with all of our running goals. So I think that's an important reminder, friends.
Absolutely. And again, like you said, can't force anybody to do it. Just have fun with it. Try your best. And if all else fails, get them a really cool hat that you can see in the crowd of supporters as they hand you your fuel and water, or maybe your adult beverage. Because I do have to admit, my brain preparing for our live tasting, where it's going to be a hoppy good time with our non-alcoholic and alcoholic beverages. I keep going to what you'd said earlier about last call for alcohol. And maybe that beer mile's calling our name. Maybe it'll be a beer mile after Dopey, even though I'm pretty sure no one's going to do a beer mile after you run Dopey.
I think we do need to figure out some kind of fun for brunch when it comes to a little bit of maybe a beer mile or a donut mile or something like that. And maybe that'd be a great
or
way.
Both.
Yeah, all of the above. But yes, friends, do use that link in episode notes so that you can put your name into the Dopey hat. I hear it's pretty cute. And we want to thank you so much for joining us. Again, huge shout out and thank you to Julie and Nick for spending time with us and inspiring us to go down that rabbit hole. And give yourself a huge high five if you went out for a run or a walk and you got some me time here, even if you're doing laundry or doing the dishes. It's really important that you give yourself a whole lot of love, that you give yourself that pat on the back, and make sure that you rehydrate, refuel with those brunch-tastic favorites. Share if your coffee profile speaks to you. And while you're recovering, resetting, you got a lot to do, friends. You've got to head on over to that link for Dopey, head on over to that one-on-one application if you're thinking that you are ready to start working towards some of your big audacious goals. And of course, feel free to share this podcast or any of our other episodes with some of your friends. Maybe that'll get them motivated to get out for a run. Use hashtag TFBrunch on social media so that we can continue to find you, share some of those beautiful sweaty selfies, and grow the community one run at a time. So we already mentioned, we've already got our amazing live fuel tasting where, as Coach said, it's going to be all about that hoppy hour. So we hope that you guys join us there. But if you don't, you'll find us at Quick Bites, where we have a light movement focused or just some really fun conversation for 20 to 30 minutes on Drop It on Wednesday. And then, of course, next Friday, we'll see you again where it's time for brunch. We're going to keep serving up more miles with
a side of smiles.